Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. With these words, we conclude a lengthy teaching section which Jesus has been giving specifically to his disciples, but through Matthew, all of us crowd in to that little circle that Jesus had in these closing moments. Jesus is within just hours at this point of being betrayed and being crucified, and all that would take place leading up to that through Matthew 26 and 27. But here Jesus, he comes to a very significant point as he's trying to press as much as he can into the hearts and into the heads, everything he can cram into the beings that are before him. Some years ago, among the many dramatic depictions which I've seen, both in person and through video, of Jesus' life, the one that sticks to me the most is a word-for-word depiction that was made out of Matthew's gospel. And Jesus comes to this portion especially. The lights are low. They're gathered around a campfire setting. And Jesus, he speaks in very measured tones to his disciples. And he speaks very somberly as he tells the story of the king who had the goats on his left and the sheep on the right. And he speaks softly. He does not speak with joy about those who go off into the eternal night. But the temper, the tone, the tenor is set very decidedly with the concluding words, These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus is giving his final instruction. He is pressing home eternal truths. Let's consider them once again. Jesus is about to go away. But even as he has been talking about when he will come again, and even as he is continuing to help his disciples who were so caught up with all of the temporal things round about them, such as the great stones of the temple and how impressive they were, Jesus is gathering them closer to his own heart, to the very heart of God, and he is saying, listen to this heartbeat. Listen to the passion that emanates from this great eternal heart. Take that as your rhythm. Take that as your tempo. Take that as your very own passion. So he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. In prayer today, we've considered how that one day we will gather around that very throne. And how Jesus here says, all the nations gathered before him. And there will be that separation. Last week, the sermon we called a great divide. Here once again, and as in so many of Jesus' parables, there is that division that is made. And there are only two categories. There's not the one large one and another large one over here, and then some kind of fuzzy middle ground. There is simply the two. Simply the two. And Jesus says, the king, referring to himself, there'll be that great divide. There will be that shepherd separating the sheep from the goats. The sheep on the right and the goats on the left. When I was in India just 1 month ago today, and as we were traveling about, it was amazing to see the flocks of both goats and sheep. India is making incredible strides forward in its infrastructure in various ways. And since my last visit about 5.5 years ago, one of the most striking things was the toll roadways that are in place now that weren't there just a very few years ago. But India is still India, and even on a 4-lane divided highway, you have flocks of sheep. You'll come racing along, and here'll be this shepherd making use of this beautiful toll highway to shepherd his sheep or shepherd his goats along on the way. Or when we turn off of that toll highway onto a secondary road, and then a tertiary road, and then some path which doesn't seem to be any road whatsoever, we see alongside a shepherd with his flock. And my host said to me, I'm not a shepherd, I don't know these things. He said, do you know what the difference is between a sheep, a flock of sheep, and a flock of goats? He said, the sheep follow the shepherd. And the shepherd calls them along, and they come along behind him. But the goats, they need to be driven along, and they need to be tended here and there, and they're forever falling off the side. Oh, what a picture that is in a spiritual sense. We are the sheep of the great shepherd, and we are to tend to his voice, and we are to follow at his very heels. Goats, they're the ones who are forever wandering here and there, to the left and to the right, the ones who need the rod especially to drive them along. Well, Jesus, he said, there will be this great divide. And then the king will speak. And notice here that there is a surprise that takes place on the part of both. The sheep, first of all, who are addressed, and then those on the left, those goats. The king says to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, thirsty, I was a stranger, naked, sick, in prison, and there was ministry that flowed from your hands, from your heart, to my own heart. The righteous, they come and they are somewhat taken aback by all of this. Lord, when did all of this take place? And verse 40, the king answers and says to them, to the extent that you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine, there was that connection with me, myself, and I. Some take this with great offense, what Jesus has to say here. And some take it with great delight, thinking that here is justification for a social gospel, where men and women can work somehow for their salvation. They feed the hungry, a wonderful thing. They clothe the naked, a commendable thing by all means. They tend to those who are in prison through various ministries and through hospital and through clinics and through all kinds of other things. They tend to the sick. But Jesus is talking about people whose hearts have been so gripped, whose hearts have been so changed by the message that he brought, that there was a transformation and there was fruit bearing. There was something that emanated from these people because they were different. They were different. How do you take a goat and change it into a sheep? It's impossible. You can't take a sheep and make it into a goat. But I'll tell you what else is impossible. It's impossible to take a sinner and to make them into a saint. It's impossible to take someone who is bound for hell and to change them to the road, to transfer them to the road that leads to life and heaven and to blessing. You see, it's something here that is of the king's doing. A goat can't change themselves into a sheep, but God can. And a sheep will produce the fruit that a sheep is expected to produce. Believers in the king and followers of the king, we are expected to be charitable and to be generous and to be compassionate. We are expected to be doing these very things that Jesus is outlining here. But it must come from a heart change, from a deep inner work, not from something that is superficial or forced. It must come from deep, deep within. But verse 40 is especially key here. To hear what Jesus has to say about his association with the least, the last, the lost. He says, when you did it to the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. I'm sure you remember when the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, and he speaks, Jesus speaks, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul was not on his way to Damascus to look up a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth and to take him in chains back to Jerusalem and to persecute him and to make him recant his faith. Saul was looking for anyone who believed in this name of Jesus. Saul was utterly convinced that Jesus, his bones were somewhere, he just couldn't find them. And that this new religion, this new faith called the Way, was an aberrant faith. It was a twisted faith. It was an erroneous faith. But Jesus, as he speaks through the blinding light down to this rabbi there, now with his face in the dust, he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus made such a connection with his brethren, with those who were feeling the lash, those who were feeling the chains, those who were giving their very life because they delighted in him so very much, that he said, "When you do it to them, you do it to me." The king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, what you did to them, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned, you did it to me." Now, just in case anything is missed in this whole equation, Jesus continues, and with almost identical language, just a very slight abbreviation, but with identical language, he turns things, and the king says to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." You see, from eternity past, hell was not meant as the residence of you or me or of any other human being which God has created. That was created for the devil, Satan, Lucifer, and for those who rebelled in heaven against God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That is what hell has been prepared for, that eternal fire. And notice the stark terms that Jesus, by common agreement, the one who loved people so very, very much, see how starkly, how plainly he sets it forth about this eternal fire that he doesn't want anyone to descend into. He talks to these on his left, that he was hungry and thirsty, that he was a stranger, he was naked, he was sick in prison, and they did nothing for him. There was nothing within them, there was no fruit, there was no glorifying God. Now these ones also, not only in surprise, but I'm sure in absolute terror and panic, wanting to step up as the lawyer on their own behalf, and they want to raise the objection, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, in prison, and not take care of you?" They hadn't seen Jesus of Nazareth. They hadn't seen this one who is sitting in judgment before them. He will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." Now there's one more verse in chapter 25, and it wraps up what Jesus has to say, but it uses the word eternal two times. First of all, it refers to those from Jesus, the king's left, those goats, those accursed ones. First of all, it says, "These will go away into eternal punishment." Note that. Then it says, "But the righteous into eternal life." It's most odd that people raise an objection and they say, "Well, eternal punishment, we just cannot line up the Bible, and we cannot line up the character of Jesus, and we cannot line up a God who would send people into eternal punishment without some type of reprieve. a billion years down the road, a million years down the road, 1,000, 10 years down the road, at some point there must be some exit from this. Well, the problem is this, that if eternal does not mean what it clearly should mean in the first half of this verse, then we have no right whatsoever to expect that that same word means the same thing, what we would like it to mean, in the second part, in the second phrase of verse 46. Jesus, he says, these to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So we have a problem. We have a deep problem that if we want to somehow give hope to people that at one point those who have perished without hoping in Jesus Christ, that if somehow we want to extend that hope to them, we must at the same time say to them, we must clarify what heaven is. Heaven is a place where we will go for a few short years, and then there will be something else. But it will not be eternal life. It will not be bliss. It will not be paradise. It will not be singing God's praise for a little while. What do we do? We come back and with Jesus, just as he, through these verses, through these chapters, through these parables that he tells, and is through the outright direct principles that he shares, we share with people. We plead with them. Along with the Apostle Paul, we beg of people. We plead with them. We agonize with them to say, be saved from this perverse generation, even as the apostles responded to the people. We sound out the word. We tell them of the dangers. We let them know that there is a way to be saved, but that judgment is coming, sure and certain. Once again, that video plays in my mind over and over again of Jesus who reached out to people in love all through those 3 brief years of his earthly ministry, touching the leper. That was a no-no. Should never have done that. I'm sure people were horrified to see Jesus actually extending his hand to touch the leper, or to touch a woman, or whatever the case would be. I'm sure people were horrified, but the leper was cleansed, and the woman with the issue of blood was healed, and so many others' lives were transformed. Jesus loved people. That is unmistakable. But here he speaks, and I'm sure there was no smile of delight on his face when he spoke of those who would be sent off into the flames of hell. But the word needs to be heard. Christians need to hear this too, lest we be careless in how we live our lives. Lest we come with that servant who said, oh, my master. Yes, I am still the servant of that master, but he's delaying, and I'm going to compromise, and I'm going to sort of ease up on a number of things that I've previously been more passionate about and diligent about and fervent. And Christians need to hear this too. Judgment is coming. All will be there. In chapter 26, verse 1, when Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion." You see, Jesus, he knew what sin had done, and he knew the pain and the weight that he would bear. He was speaking these words in Matthew 25, knowing exactly the darkness, the hideousness of sin in all of its dimension. And so he speaks, so he pleads, so he yearns for the disciples to also understand. And so the Holy Spirit continues to tug at hearts today. Sheep and goats. Now you can't, as I said, you can't change yourself from the one to the other. But God wants to change you from the one to the other. Ralph Carmichael wrote the song on page 329 in your hymnal. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Verse 2 says, if you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Lord, as we sing this concluding hymn today, I pray that men and women who have held you off, that they would open the door and that they would say, Lord Jesus, into all of the mess of my heart, I bid you to come. I bid you to come in to forgive, to cleanse, to dwell. Lord, I've tried to clean up this place, but I just can't do anything. The grime and the mess, it's too much, far too much. Lord, I need you to come and to work within my heart. Lord, I pray that there would be men and women who would be saying that, praying that, in meaning that with all that is within them as we pray and sing. Lord, do that. Come in, I pray. And may they have this assurance that they have passed from death into life, out of darkness into your glorious light, and may they dwell there for all eternity. So, Lord, save, we pray. Change goats into sheep, those who will follow at your voice and at your command. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.